America Weekend.
I'd tell you everything if you'd pick up that telephone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. One of the things about being a parent today is you have to deal with technology that our parents never had to deal with, specifically cell phones. We didn't have cell phones. When I was a kid, the way I was able to reach out to my parents at home was by getting a quarter out of my pocket, putting it in the payphone, and calling home. Well, things are different. It's a lot of expense, it's a lot of nuisance, it's a lot of hassle. So what do? Well, we deal with it the best way we can. So whenever we have something to talk about when it comes to parenting and dealing with kids, it's always good to welcome to the show Susie Cerrone.
Hey there, Ed. How are you? Happy New Year.
We're talking about phones, cell phones. And when do you actually decide your child needs a phone, and what kind of phone do they need? A lot of kids now need, for whatever reason, need iPhones and Galaxies. Whatever happened to the good old flip phone, and why can't we just give our kids a flip phone?
Don't mock me, Ed, because you know I still have a flip phone. This is a bone of contention with me. My daughter's now a junior in high school, and when she was in fifth, sixth grade, that's when the kids started getting the phones. Now, they didn't have the iPhones then. It was the flip phone, and of course, you know, my daughter, love her to death. She's a responsible kid, but yes, she has gone through 10 phones in 5 years. Yes, she's gone through 10 phones in 5 years. For her 16th birthday, all she wanted was the iPhone 5C, so I broke down, and that's all she got for her 16th birthday. Now, before that, she went almost 2 years without a cell phone. I would have gotten her a cell phone, but, you know, Ed, something happens to the kids when they start middle school, especially the girls. She became a phone snob. A flip phone wasn't good enough. A prepaid phone wasn't good enough. She wanted a fancy phone, so she went without a phone for 2 years.
10 phones in 5 years. This averages out to a phone every 6 months.
Well, the first phone was a fairly inexpensive flip phone, so I'll give you that. We had water damage on two or three phones. That's, you know, from in and out of the town pool. We've had a drop on the hardwood floor. We've had a couple of screens crack. We've lost two phones. So I said, you know what? That's it. You're done. And then she became a phone snob. And she's like, I said, I'll go to the department store, you know, the big box store. I'll get you a prepaid. No, I want a good phone. I want a real phone. Okay, well, you know what? You've been through 10 phones. I'm not getting you a phone. If you need a phone, if there's an emergency, you need to get a hold of me. Ask anyone. You can borrow anyone's phone. So she went 2 years without a phone. And let me see, knock on wood in the studio, we've had this current phone for a year. Woo!
Now, what we do with my son is he just went from a prepaid flip phone to a prepaid smartphone, which he dropped the first day. It ended up in three pieces, but it's okay. The battery went back in, so we wonder how long that's going to last. But I think the prepay idea is a good one, because I pay $225 a month for me and my wife for two Galaxies and a tablet that we barely use. So for him, it comes out to about $10 a month. And if he loses the phone, at least I'm not on the hook for all these replacement costs. You must have paid a lot of money to replace all those phones, because you didn't have them for as long as you were supposed to in the contract, right?
Well, some of them she received as gifts, so I did not purchase all of them. But you know what, Ed? I think a good rule of thumb is this, parents out there, if your child is in elementary school and they're still not so brand and style conscious, definitely a prepaid phone, a basic phone for elementary school is the way to go. But once they hit middle school, all bets are off. They want fancy schmancy, the latest. Then if they can show responsibility with the basic phone, then I'm thinking middle school is when you can do the upgrade. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea. Middle school is when we took him from the little flip phone to the smartphone. But and the other thing, too, is with the smartphone is that it opens up the entire Pandora's box that is the internet. You can have pretty much anything on that phone on the internet, so you have to have an understanding with your child and hopefully even some parental controls so you can make sure kids aren't looking at things they shouldn't be looking at on their smartphone.
And, you know, that's the punishment in my house. If my daughter does something she shouldn't do, you got to hit them where it hurts. I'll take the phone, please.
What a different world it is. When we were growing up, we didn't have these things. It's a whole different world right now in terms of technology. And once they have the phones in school, who knows what's going on in school anyway? New York City just rescinded the ban, so kids are going to be allowed to take phones and tablets into the school. Schools will deal with it on a case-by-case basis. But for any school that decides, okay, you can have the phones in the school, all of a sudden you've got social studies, selfies, and texts going on during trigonometry and everything else. It can be quite a mess.
Well, you know, in my daughter's school, they're allowed to have the phone, but it has to be out of sight. But here's what I don't like. When she has study hall, she has access to her phone, and I hate that.
That's not study hall.
I think if you have it at school during the day, it's got to be tucked away in a backpack, out of sight. Yes, they have access to it, but it's off.
So as we move along in time, folks, it seems like back when you and I didn't have phones back in the day, that day is starting to seem more and more like Little House on the Prairie time all the time. Anyway, always a pleasure. Susie, thanks for coming in today, and we'll see you again pretty soon with yet another parent tip.
Thanks, Ed, and I tell you what, I would have killed for a pink princess phone in my room back in the day.
This is America Weekend. And I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
What exactly are grounds for annulment? This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. As you might already know, an annulment is a court judgment that a marriage was never legal to begin with. So which of the following five scenarios are legal grounds for an annulment? One, concealing previous divorces. 2. False claims of wanting to have children. 3. Concealing homosexuality. 4. Hiding a grotesque birthmark. 5. Concealing impotence. Stay tuned for the final verdict. So which of the reasons are grounds for annulment? Concealing divorces, false claims of wanting children, concealing homosexuality, a birthmark, or impotence? They are all grounds for annulment, except the birthmark. I made that one up. And that's the final verdict.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff, here is your child afraid to ask the teacher a question? Well, it's a problem that's more common than you think, and here's the science of it. A high percentage of students surveyed said they occasionally fail to understand the teacher. That's expected. But the next finding is not. A high percentage of students surveyed said they would not ask questions. Only one child in three had the courage to say to the teacher, "Teach, I don't understand." What's the cheap psychological trick to address this problem? Give your child permission to ask the teacher questions. Explain it's okay to say to the instructor, "I don't understand." You see, good teachers would rather face confusion early than deal with it at report card time. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.